Hey, take a seat, turn to your neighbor and said, we're building today. We're building today. Make sure you tell them. How many people in here are in trades? Anybody in here? Trades. How many people in here wish they were in trades? How many people in here are like, you ain't Mr. Fix-It? And you're like, I wish you were, but no. No, I'm just kidding. As I prepared for this message today, I was ready on Monday, man. I was ready. On Monday, you know, you ever just, everything came together, it was good to go. On Tuesday, God had something different. And so I was like, okay. You know, how many people in here, when the natural rhythms of your life kind of get knocked off, you got to kind of listen in those times, right? You got to kind of be awake and being like, why is this happening right now? It was probably before our kids. I don't know. We started going to bed at like 9 o'clock, you know, like, you know, you start getting old, whatever. And kids then put it like 8:30, you know, it's like 8:30, 8 o'clock. You're like, we're out. Well, I was awake on Tuesday night at like 11 o'clock. I know some of you are like laughing, but hey man, 11 o'clock, that is tough, man. 11 o'clock is tough. I went downstairs. I was wide awake. I got in the Word. I just opened up my laptop. Okay, what do you want to tell me? What do you want to tell me? So we've been preaching on parables, and so I'm like, all right, I'll just start with, I'm in Matthew. I'm going to start with the first one, and the first one after Jesus went on his big Sermon on the Mount, right, his first teaching out there just preaching, he finished with a parable that says, listen to these words, right, listen to these words, and practice them, and your house will be built on a rock. And he started talking about the foolish and the wise builder, and we'll get into that. And so I started just typing notes. I started typing down. I had the opportunity right out of high school, and I started doing some construction. And I started with concrete. That was just what I had friends. They were in the trade. They asked me to come help them. And it was in booming time. So everybody was getting a patio, a sidewalk, a driveway. Everybody was doing it, right? It was 2005, 2006, right in there. And so I started doing concrete. Man, I got good with a wheelbarrow and a shovel. You know, these guys, they would bark. They would tell me where to go. They'd tell me how fast to do it, whatever it was. I did it. And so those days, those are long days, but those are good days. Learned a lot about just hard work. And there was something in me. I wasn't afraid of hard work, but I really wanted to learn how to build a house. I really wanted to learn carpentry. And so a kid I went to church with he just got a job as a laborer for a guy named Rodney Lorenz. Rodney's out of Serena, lives down in Dallas now. Rodney was like, yeah, I mean, he had houses, a lot of houses. He was doing custom homes, stick frame houses. He's like, I'll use another laborer. I'm like, cool, I can carry stuff. I can push wheelbarrows. He's like, well, you don't need a wheelbarrow. But so I labored for Rodney for probably about 3 years or so, and then in and out of college as I was in college. Gosh, I look back, and as I was reflecting that night, and I'm like, I haven't talked with Rodney in a while. And I got to be really good friends with his son, Tony. I'm like, I haven't talked to them forever. I hope they're doing good. Started just thinking about them. And I started really reflecting on, like, how much Rodney, it just impacted me. This was the exact time when my dad got sick with cancer, and it was just, there was a lot. But Rodney was, like, just this, like, dude, he had so much integrity and work ethic, and he was a man after God's heart. And he was the guy that, like, it didn't matter who came on the job site, we had WBGL or Christian radio just blaring, and he was just out there praising all the time, which is unheard of, really, on a construction crew. And so we had a couple guys that weren't too fond of that either. And they're like, you know, if Rodney was away, they're like, turn that stuff off, you know. But his character impacted me so much. And he taught me so much about, like, integrity of how to build something and do it right. And those of you that know, if you step on your floor in your house, there's joists, which is your long 2x10, 2x12, right? And then on top of that, you have plywood. Well, this is Rodney's integrity that he had. And this was I was the grunt. I was the work guy. And so if you step on those older homes and you hear like a, you know, That's a nail or a screw that missed the joist, and it's rubbing against the joist, okay? Rodney was like, that's not flying on my crew. Go underneath the floor and make sure that they're punched out. Every nail, every screw that's missed needs to come out, because there's no squeaky floors on my watch. And I'm like, oh, that's so annoying. But like, you know, I look back at it, I'm like, that dude loved doing things right. Doing it right. If you put together if you nailed a stud into a wall, the nails had to be perfectly spaced, because if they're too close together, that's a weak stud, and it could wiggle on you, and not on Rodney's watch. It's got to be done. It's got to be done right. And I looked back at him, and I had the opportunity. I called him on Wednesday, and I'm like, just thank you, man, for just being that guy that just cared about little things. You cared about me, and it was a really encouraging week to look back and talk with him and see, again, just kind of reflect on that time of my life where I really learned how to build a house. And again, let me be very clear, I learned how to carry lumber that builds the house, okay? I was not the mind behind it, but so much integrity and strength into that. And so as I read our parable today that Jesus is talking about, as we're talking about our houses of our life, how Jesus talks about building our house on a rock. And there's a wise way to do it and a foolish way to do it. And so in Matthew 7, again, after Jesus just did his Sermon on the Mount, big sermon, powerful sermon, just shaking the world of the Jewish religion at that point, he says in verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, we're building today, okay? We're building together today. We're talking about how can we build our houses together on the rock of Jesus' teachings. He's saying that when hard times come, because they're going to come, how can we not waver in that? How can we not crumble in that? Because we see it all around. Big old houses, beautiful lives of people around us that on their Facebook and Instagram stories, man, they got parties, vacations, their kids are angels, man. They got it all together. You know, I know that's not us. Okay, never mind. All right. But man, it's easy for us to look around and think so many people have it all together. And I think we can be really, really wise if we look at it that we don't have it all together. And that's okay. And that's okay. And so I think as we are trying to pick apart this scripture a little bit today of what is Jesus talking about, how do we build this house on a rock? What is the first thing we need when we're going to build a house? Well, we need someone that knows what they're doing. We need a GC. We need a general contractor. Well, who better than the man that has our plans and purpose? Who better to help us build our house than the man that built us? And so as we look today and get into this framework of our house, because we're not talking about the paintings on the wall. We're not talking about the color of the interior. We're not talking about all the landscape. We're talking about the bones of the structure that's going to make it hold. And I love, what do we need to do? First and foremost, we need to find him. We need to seek him. We need to seek him out. Acts 17, 26 through 28. From one man, God made all the nations, and that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times for them and the exact places where they should live. Verse 27, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. This is one of the greatest promises of Scripture, of truth. This is one of the greatest promises. What is the promise? If you seek him, you will. all the time. It's a promise that we're anchored in, that we're anchored. If we go a little even back even farther in 1 Chronicles, King David, right? King David is talking to his son Solomon. Solomon has, King David's making the plans of building the temple, right? The temple of God. Solomon's going to do this. And I think we can take the same encouragement, the same plans that King David's talking to his son about, we can take it and apply it to our own lives. Because King David says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him wholeheartedly," right? With devotion and with a willing mind. "For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. Now, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build the temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. If you seek him, you will find him." Now, that gave me some encouragement this morning too. Because as you think about that, I know you all had like a teacher sometime in your day that was like, son or daughter, you know, whoever you're speaking to, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, looking for a different result. And you're like, oh, thanks, that was encouraging. Encouraging, right? If you are seeking him and you're not finding him, you can maybe try a different angle or a different route. Maybe talk to somebody in a different way. Maybe try a different route. If you're not seeking with all your heart, try something different. Try something new. And that's not always easy, because Jesus is talking, right? And he's talking up on this hill about stuff that is unheard of to a lot of these people, of ways to live their life. These teachings are not what they're used to. And sometimes maybe that's us, is that some of this stuff is hard to do. But if we go at it with hard work, right? If we do the work, if we seek him with our whole heart, we will find him. It is a promise. It is a promise. Don't give half effort and expect a different result. Go into it with a whole heart, an open heart. That's all he cares about, is your heart posture. He wants your heart. And there's nothing better than knowing that we're seeking our general contractor, our builder, that knows all the steps ahead of where we're currently at, right? Is that when you build a house, and this is, Rodney was so good at this, because, you know, I'd like, of course, the lumber would be dropped and there's this massive pile of wood and he's like, "Move it," you know, kind of thing. And I had to move all the lumber. And I'd be stacking it someplace and he'd be like, "You don't want to stack it there. We're going to have to build this here in a little bit." And it's like, "Oh, I didn't know that," you know. And then it's like, okay, so then he's like, "Oh, well, I'll put it over here." He goes, "Nah, you don't want to put it there either." Okay, well, where do you want me to put it? You know, so I don't have to move this thing twice. And that's God. He let us ask him what he wants for our life, so that we aren't running into brick walls all the time trying to do it ourselves. And so I think that's so encouraging for us today, that if we seek him, he knows the plans of our life, right, Jeremiah? He has a purpose for us, right? He appointed every single one of us, and Acts says, right now, 2019, he has plan and purpose for your life. But what do? We try to do it. We try to build it. We think since we watch Fixer Upper, we can do anything, you know? It's like, we try to do it, and it's not his plan, and it doesn't go the right way. And then we're like, well, what happened? Seek him. Seek him. The coolest thing is that God gave us the blueprints, right? So God can help us read the blueprints of our life. He gives us direction. Jesus, when he's teaching in Matthew in 5, 6, and 7, he's bringing this new wave of life, this new teaching of life. But the thing is the people that he's talking to, he's not talking about the exterior, because the people that he's talking about looked like they had it all together. They were religious. I can't stand when people call me religious. They're religious. I go, religious? I ain't religious, man. I just love Jesus. It's just about Jesus. Jesus was killed by religious people. So, again, Jesus was speaking to the guts, man, to the interior, to the bones of these people, because they looked like they had it all together. But he's saying, no, hold on. It says don't murder, yes, but what I'm saying is, if you're even angry at a brother, you need to go and get that figured out. Where's that anger coming from? And these people, that's not what they thought. They were living, hey, if I don't murder, I'm good. And he's like, no, it's about the inside, what people can't see. And he keeps going. He spoke on adultery, and they're like, I'm good. And he going, no, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your mind. And they're like, whoa, and he going, no, it's about your heart. It's about your heart. He says, love your neighbors as yourself, but also love your enemies and pray for them, right? He says, of course, give to the poor, right? Be giving, but don't announce it to anybody. Keep it to yourself because it's between you and God. And of course, pray, talk to me. But you don't need to do it on the streets. He's saying, come and do it in private, me and you. Let's talk. Let's pray. Jesus was worried about the structure deep inside each and every one of us when he's preaching. That is the God we serve. This is the blueprints that he's talking about. He's saying, your house, right, will be built on a rock. Yes, if you believe what I'm saying and put it into practice. You have to do what he's saying. You have to try it. You have to practice it. You can't just think that because you believe and you just, okay, then you're just going to do the right things and then you're going to ultimately just get to heaven. He's saying it's about your heart. It's about how you really feel about me. Do you know me? And that's what God's calling. That's what Jesus is saying. And this is a choice that all of us have to make this morning. The same exact choice as he's up here and he's speaking to thousands of people and people are starting to see, who is this man? Who is this? And they all had to make a choice, just like me and you. Are we going to sit here and listen to a good sermon? Well, your choice if it was good or not. Are we going to listen to a sermon this week? And that's where we stop. Jesus was good. He was good. He's like, oh, that was nice. That was a nice sermon. Okay. And then you go back to your life. That's a choice you got to make. You're going to go tell your friends. That's what they had. They had to choose. Are they going to go into their workplace? Are they going to feel the heart beating when they know somebody is struggling and one of their buddies right there is struggling? When the person sitting next to you is struggling, they don't know Jesus. Are you going to tell them? They had to make those choices just like me and you. I mean, we can keep going. What other choices did they have to make? They had to choose. Am I going to stop what I'm doing? Listen to these teachings and actually ask myself to change the way that I'm living. You got to make that choice. Are you going to give it to him? I'm not going to. I love my Budweiser too much. That's my time. That's my boys' weekend. I'm okay to let loose on that weekend. That's mine. Okay. You have to make those choices. Biggest one, are you going to start living, practicing the teachings of Jesus? Practicing the teachings of Jesus because you believe that that is the only way, Jesus is saying it, that your house is going to be built on a rock. That everything else will crumble in sand. And so these teachings, these are these choices that we have to make because Jesus is asking his friends the same exact thing. And Matthew, when they go back and they're talking after a long day of preaching, Jesus asked them, he says to his disciples, right, who do they say I am? Who are these? Who do they think I am? Are they listening to me? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, right? Some think you're just a prophet, right? And he's like, okay, well, who do you think I am? And he says, Peter, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And if that's you this morning, if you are going to proclaim that with your lips, then that's one part, but the other part is to put it into practice, right? Because Jesus is saying that we can proclaim anything, we can talk anything, we can say anything, but unless you start doing It's just like that boss that sits behind his desk and barks orders at you, but why is he not there helping, right? We've all had that before. It's like God is the one that's actually walking with us. Jesus is walking with us in this. Who do you say I am? You are the Messiah. Then are we going to go and move into that? The Lord does not want to be earned. He doesn't want you to try to earn your faith. He doesn't want you to try to earn your way to heaven. If I do enough, if I do enough good, if I give this enough, then I'm going to make it. And that's when I'm right with God. He's going, no. I love my beautiful family in the back over here. There is nothing that Sid or Holly or Jane can ever give me for me to love them more. You understand that? God, the Father, that's the way that he looks at you. There is nothing you can give him besides your heart. That is the heart of God. And so as we start building today, we got our GC, we got our general contractor, we got our blueprints. As we start building today, everybody say, let's build. Okay, well, let's start. We got to practice. We got to practice the teachings. And we don't have to get it all together. I love using N.T. Wright. He's a commentary writer about this scripture. N.T. Wright says, Jesus insists in the great warning which closes this sermon that his hearers will be judged, not even on the direct response to God himself, but on whether they hear these words and do them, or whether they let their ears just enjoy the sound of the words, but then leave them as a memory without doing anything about them. Doing what Jesus says or not doing it, this makes the difference between a house that stands in the storm and a house that falls with a great crash. We got to practice the way of Jesus. My sister, she just moved back. I love her over there. And she just moved back. She has been in Portland, Oregon for the past 2 years. And she went to a church called Bridgetown Church. And they do a thing called Practicing the Way of Jesus. And you could check it out sometimes. It's awesome. It's online, practicetheway.org. And it's a great, great tool of how did Jesus live and how can we mimic that? How can we look to Jesus, the Son of God, and try to live how he did? And so there's spiritual disciplines that he did. Look at his habits. Look how he talked to people. Look how he loved people. And so there's some things up here, some spiritual disciplines that he did. Reading God's word, right? Sometimes super hard to do for us, but it's something that we should do daily, right? Prayer, fasting, serving, worship, right? Fellowship, having accountability with friends, loving the poor, trying to help people in need. Right? These are all like spiritual disciplines that we have to do. But I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. This is not easy for all of us. This is hard to do. So as you are sitting here and going, well, it's easy for you. It's just not easy for me. It's not easy. No. Together, this is difficult at times. It's a discipline. It's a spiritual discipline because I believe that this is truth. And in order for me to have a house that's built on a rock, I have to actually practice what I'm reading. When I talk to someone and tell them that I believe in Jesus, they're gonna immediately think, how does he live his life? And then they associate me with Jesus. And that's okay. Paul says that's okay, right? That's okay for you to look to me if you want, follow me as I follow Jesus. That's okay. But we all are gonna struggle at it at times. And that's okay. We don't have to cover it up with fake insecurity of just like, I'm not being good enough. You have to just say, be vulnerable and open that I'm trying my best. I'm just trying my best to be like Jesus. Yeah, I struggle in this area. I struggle sometimes in this area. And as I walk, I'm just trying my best to be like Jesus. Read this as truth and try to walk in it. That's how your life is going to be built on a rock. You will stumble. At the practices, at the things that he calls us to, we're going to stumble at times, and that's okay. That's okay. We got to do it together. Together. We got to lean on each other together. You get a general contractor, you got your blueprint, you start building. Well, what happens when you start building a house? You got to get your rough frame. You got to get your concrete, your rough frame. You got to get your heating. You got to get your air, right? You got to get your electrical. You got to get your plumbing ran through there. Well, every phase, you got inspections that come. You got to make sure you get tested. We got to make sure that together, are we getting inspected from God? And are we letting others help us in that? Because I looked up, I just thought it'd be fun because Google, you know, has like every answer that you could ever need, you know. And so I Googled, like, why would you get a home inspection, you know? I mean, it sounds like a dumb question because we all just do it. I love Google's answer. To find an unseen or unexpected problem. Oh, that's deep. That means that all of us got unseen problems that we don't even know are there. And who is going to help us find that? Well, we know that God can. We know that he can inspect us. That's huge, right? Scriptures that me and James have anchored on big time. One she really brought into our house. She has a little painting of it. Psalm 51. What a just a daily prayer. It's just a daily prayer because, you know, when you just get off track, that prayer, Psalm 51, 10 through 12, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sometimes in your day you lose some joy. A couple times in a day. Restore the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Ah, that's so good. When you need God to just kind of come through you, inspect me a little bit. Where's my heart postured? Renew me, God. Do not feel like you, I mean, I shouldn't say do not feel. Start trying to read that out loud to yourself so that you are telling yourself that I need that. I need that. Humbly. I always say, I'll probably say it in 1,000 more sermons of Psalm 139 because that is just, that's above my, on my bulletin board at work, just right above my desk because it's just, search me, God, and know my heart. What a risky thing to say to God, right? But what an inspiring thing to say if you need cleansed, if you need inspected, search my heart, O God. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me to a life of everlasting. These are between you and God. These are between you and the creator of the world. That is a father that loves you, that wants to walk with you, and when you are struggling to feel like you got it all together, that's okay. Ask him for help. And it's just privately between me, you and him. It's privately in your car. It's privately in breakfast. It is between you and him of your heart posture. Jesus was preaching up on that mountain about a heart posture. He wasn't talking about rules to live by. He was talking about where is your heart at toward God, toward the creator. And when we walk out these doors, the fast pace of life is going to come in and we have all these things on our list of to-dos and you're going to get distracted. And what we are hoping is that you are consistently reminded to let God inspect through you to find where are you getting distracted from him so you can stay focused on him. Now, this is a big one. We have to let others in as well to help them inspect us as well. That's a really tough thing. We live in a society right now, maybe you live in a different one than me, but everybody's like this, you know? I got kids almost hitting me when they walk down the hallway because they're walking like this. How many people walk down a hallway or like you kind of like see someone that you kind of know, you know, sometimes and you take out your phone like you're going to look at something? Is that just me sometimes? We don't want to be bothered right now. But I'm getting so, so, so fed up with, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have to be able to let people in when we struggle. When we struggle with something that could damage our marriage, when we struggle with something that could pull us so far away from God down a wrong path, we have to have people in our life that we are open to saying, hey, what do you think about this? Because the word says this, but I don't know if I believe that. Or to say, hey, I got so much anxiety today. Can you just pray for me right now? There's nothing shameful about that. We have to, together, we have to understand that. When you are bogged down with an addiction and you feel like there's no way out, you have to be able to ask somebody for help. I'm not saying like that they're going to come and they're going to fix all your problems, but you've told somebody that you need help. And that's okay. That's okay. Because if you are sitting in these chairs and you think you got it all together, good luck. Good luck. But if we're sitting there and be like, no, I got broad shoulders. I can handle it. I can do it. I can fix it. I'm Mr. Fix-It. This is my problem. This isn't your problem. This is my problem. Maybe you grew up in a home like that, but that's not the home that God has. This isn't the house that we're building. We're building a house of a church that relies on each other, that breaks bread together, that loves each other. And I'm feeling convicted because when I read Acts 2, verse 42 through 47, and talks about the early church, sometimes it doesn't look much like the American church. And so we're like, man, I'm trying to think, how can we love each other better? But the first step is we got to let each other in so we can help each other out. Because as we read Acts, talking about the believers of that day, the early church, in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the followers. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their number daily that were saved. That's the early church. Together. Together. I love that. Community. Together. If you're going through something, and I'm not saying shout it from the rooftops, your struggles and air dirty laundry. I'm not saying that. Jesus, within 12 disciples, he had a tight three, right? Peter, James, and John, they're like right there, boom, right with him, right? There's people that were just his tight friendship. He had best friends, right? John was like his best friend, you know? Like, okay, just have your people that are your go-tos that can help you, inspect you. Because the bottom line is, you have your house. The storm's coming. There's something that's going to shake. There's something that's going to pop. There's something that's going to test your structure. Verse 25 of today, the rain will come, the winds will blow, and the waters will rise. Maybe things are really good in your house right now. Maybe some of you, you're in the middle of it, man. You're in a storm. You feel like that water's coming up and up and up and you can't get a breath. I understand that. I want to be encouraged today through Scripture. I want to be encouraged because Paul weathered so many storms. Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament, and he's writing to the church at Corinth in the second letter, and he's talking about all these hardships that he's gone through. He's talking about how he's been beaten. He's talking about how he's been in jail. He's talking about all these things that he's gone through. And I just want to pull encouragement because if that's you right now, where you're in the middle of something, where you feel like this is it, like this is tough, it can't get any worse. This is what Paul says first in chapter 1. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even our life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. He's saying in the middle of it, he felt like it was done. It was over. There is nothing worse that life could have right now. And if that's not where you're at, that's okay too. I mean, everybody's circumstance is different. But this is saying in hardship, there's times when we feel like there's so much weight we can't even bear it. And looking back, Paul in hindsight, a couple chapters later in chapter 4, again in that second letter to the church of Corinth. Now he looks in hindsight and he says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but never abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. He's saying, yes, amen, amen. That's us. As we build our house, as we go into storms of life, that is us. That no matter how much weight, we can look and there is light. If, hear me as I finish, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, you will get distracted. You will get distracted. When you get distracted, you will start to feel fear about things. You will start to feel anxiety. You will start to feel bogged down. You'll start thinking of your regrets that you've had. You'll start being ashamed of things, of the way that maybe Jesus is asking you to live. You'll start thinking about all these things, and all those things are not from God. They're not from God. And so as we look in the middle of a storm, look for encouragement, we can anchor on Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If the Almighty God is for us, who can be against us? We looked at John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. That's a promise. But take heart. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Come on. Come on. Your house will be built on a rock if you listen to the teachings, but then you got to start practicing them. We got to start practicing them. We got to do it together. We got to walk together. We got to let God infiltrate our heart, soften our heart to the things that maybe we don't want to change. We got to be open to it so that when the storm comes, and when God calls us, when life is done, we go to heaven and we sit with him and he's prepared a spot for you if we believe his teachings and put them into practice. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being the ultimate creator, Lord, and the builder of our life. Father, I just pray. I pray, Father, that anybody in here going through a storm right now can anchor in your truth and in your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that anybody in here that needs their heart softened, Lord, I pray that you come in, inspect that heart, Lord, and make yourself real and new to them. Father, I pray that you just forgive us of our sins. Father, and I pray that we walk close to you. Jesus, take our hands. And walk with us, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.